title this, Get Thee Behind Me, Satan. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
When Satan came to him, he said, Get thee behind me, Satan. I thought, what if it's good enough for the Lord?
Amen.
It's good enough for me. Now, understand this. Scripture, there is progressive revelation. There is progressive understanding. And what I'm going to try to do today is help each of us, beginning with me, come to a better comprehension of the reality of the truth in Romans chapter 6, verses 14 through 23. I want to go there. Actually, I may start with verse 12 through 23. But to get us started, I want to make two or three preliminary comments, and I want you to listen. Because revelation in the Word of God is progressive. There is progressive revelation in the Word of God. You can read the Word of God day after day after day. When I say progressive revelation, in progressive revelation, you can pick up the Word of God today, and it take on deeper meaning than it did yesterday. You can read the same scriptures over and over and over, and yet you pick up the scriptures one day, and God gives you deeper insight, fuller understanding. We talk about the attributes of God, but I don't know if we ever really stop to analyze and think about the attributes of God. God is omniscient. What do we mean by omniscience? He's all-knowing. He is all-knowing. He's never learned anything new. Now, that should please you right there. Because you never did anything to surprise God. You never did anything that surprised God. You never said anything that caught God by surprise. Let that sink in for just a moment. You never have. You never will. You never did. You've never done anything or said anything that caught God off guard. You've never done or said anything that caught him by surprise. Before the foundation of the world, he knew you. Before the foundation of the world, he knew the ancestral sins in your bloodline. Before the foundation of the world, he knew everything that would ever touch your life that would bruise you or wound you in any way. He knew that and still loved you.
Amen.
And still loved you in spite of everything that we were born as, in spite of everything we became after we were born. So God is omniscient. And then God is omnipotent. That meaning, of course, that he's all-powerful. He's all-powerful. Nothing he cannot do that he chooses to do. Did you catch that? Nothing that he cannot do that he chooses to do. And he will do nothing that violates his own character.
Amen.
If you're not careful in your prayer life, you may ask him to do things that violate his character. He's not going to hear that prayer. He's not going to answer that prayer because he's not going to do anything that violates his character. Then God is omnipresent, meaning that he is everywhere present simultaneously. Now, that'll stretch you. He is everywhere present simultaneously. There is no place where he is not. That does not mean that he is acknowledged everywhere he is, but he is omnipresent. Now stop and think about what I'm saying. You go home and check this for yourself. Go to Google. Say to Google, is God in whorehouses? Is God in bars? Is God in lounges? He's omnipresent. He fills the universe. You can't go anywhere where he is not.
Nope.
That does not mean he approves of what goes on there. Doesn't mean that he's going to be a part of what goes on there. Doesn't mean he allows you to be a part of what's going on there. The point is, he's omnipresent. There's no place where God is not. And we got a big universe.
Yes, sir.
And we're finding out year by year that the universe is even bigger than we thought. We've never explored the outer parameters, because there are no outer parameters, from best I can understand, there are no outer parameters of the universe. So with laying that down as a basis to start, we're going to start with Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Now, going into this, let me make my position very, very, very clear. I have to read a lot of commentaries. What I like to do in sermon preparation is I like to get my position down. I like to get positionalized and then find out who agrees with me in the commentaries and who disagrees with me. And there's some people out there who are extremely learned people. I mean, they got some degrees, but even they disagree among themselves. So you got to come to this. We have to ask the Holy Spirit of God to anoint us to understand the Word of God. It is the Spirit of God that makes it real to us.
Yes,
now, I'm going to cross some lines this morning, but let me make my position very, very clear. Now, I've said this before. I'm saying it again this morning. I do not have a sin nature.
Amen.
If you've been born again, you do not have a sin nature.
Amen.
Adam did not have a sin nature, but he sinned. Eve did not have a sin nature, but she sinned. Why do they sin? Act of their will. You have free will. You're not some kind of robot. You are made in the image of God. You have inductive reasoning. You have deductive reasoning. You were created in the image of God. You have to get this down to come through this. We're going to come through this morning. I've been avoiding this for a couple, 3 weeks. I wanted to go to Nehemiah this morning, but the Lord brought me back here. So come along with me carefully. And don't go wandering off somewhere mentally. Stay with me. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. If you had a sin nature, like you had before you were born again, and you were born with a sin nature, you came out of the womb with a sin nature. Now, I'm moving into deep theological water, so stay with me. You came out of the womb with a sin nature. And that sin nature started revealing itself as a sin nature in your life fairly early on. You came out of the womb and the sins of the fathers. You were exposed to, in the spirit realm, the sins of the fathers, the ancestral sins in the bloodline. Given the ground, how many years ago, centuries ago, your forefathers gave ground. The enemy took advantage of that ground that was given. And so they became demonized, if you will, because they were not born again. They may become born again, but they didn't come out of the womb born again, neither did you. You came out of the womb with a sin nature. And the sins of the fathers you will do, just that simple. Now, as you start developing, as you start getting maturity, as you start being exposed to life's processes, and everything that goes on in life, you from time to time, in an ongoing fashion, as you were developing, you gave ground to the enemy by agreeing with the enemy and obeying the suggestions to your mind that the enemy suggested to you.
Right.
Now, so you were born with a sin nature. That sin nature, when you were born again, the old man is put to death, but you still have free will. Adam had free will. He did not have a sin nature. Eve had free will. She did not have a sin nature. I'm swimming upstream, contrary to what some theologians would teach, but I got to go where I'm comfortable.
Amen.
I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I don't want to sin.
Amen.
And if you're born again, you don't want to sin. And when you do sin, it grieves you that you have sin. And you want to get it right with God. You want to take it before the throne of God, and you want to confess it as sin. Now, you came out of the womb with certain sins in your bloodline, and some of those sins were strongholds in the bloodline. And you sitting there this morning, looking back across your life, where you are now, where you've come from, you do not understand why you were what you were, why you did what you did, why you said what you said, why you were part of what you were part of. It's hard for you to grasp that. How could I, being who I am now, have ever have said that? How could I have ever been a part of that? How could I have ever embraced that? When you came out of the womb, you brought company with you.
Hello.
You had a sin nature. You were the nature of the devil. And the unclean spirits, we call them demons, operating in the bloodline, followed you out of the womb. He was just waiting. Satan was just waiting for a chance. Now, waiting for a chance to tempt you, waiting for a chance to deceive you, waiting to get the opportunity to have you disobey the Word of God so that when you disobeyed the Word of God, you gave him more ground so that he could get more ground in your life so that he could exercise more influence in your life.
Yes.
It's a continuing process until you're born again.
Amen.
Now, once you're born again, now for the first time in your existence, you're now enabled and empowered to stand against what he is trying to suggest to your mind, but he is already, by the time you're born again, he has already gained enough ground in your life and established some strongholds in your life, one of which may have been nothing more than lying. Deceptive. A deception. Just that simple. So you understand, as we come through this morning, the process of sanctification is a process. You came into the family of God. I'm going to say this again. I keep repeating it. You came in as a spiritual infant. And I'm convinced anymore that the average person sitting in church never gets much further than spiritual adolescence. Some of them remain in spiritual childhood. And some remain in spiritual infancy for years. For years. And so the whole idea behind this ministry is we want to develop you into spiritual maturity so that you can not only stand against the wiles of the devil, but you can help other people come to an understanding of how to do the same thing. We come back once again to verse 12. Therefore, do not let, it's volitional. You have to make a decision. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And its lust are varied. It's lust or varied. We use the word lust, that doesn't mean just sensual. That's not just sexual. That's any inordinate, ungodly desire. And Satan is always trying to introduce a new level of ungodly desire into your life, and more of them. We come to verse 13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Is volitional. Do not present. Do not present your members. What do you mean by members? The members of your body. Your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet, your arms, your legs, your tongue, your sexual organs, whatever it may be. Do not present the members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God. This is a daily thing, folks. And sometimes this day is moment by moment during the day because Satan is going to assail you every day of the world.
Amen.
And so sometimes it becomes a moment by moment submitting. A day by day thing, moment by moment. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as a volitional act of your will. Father God, today I choose to die to self, and I choose to submit every part of my being, every member of my body. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. You indwell me. My body is your temple. Therefore, and I am a purchased possession. Jesus, you purchased me on the cross. You went to the cross. You paid my sin debt, and you purchased me as a purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to submit and surrender every part of my being to His Lordship in my life, starting with my thought life, moving into my speech, what I will look at, what I won't look at, what I will read, what I will not read, what I will look at on TV, what I will not look at on TV, what conversation I'll be a part of, what conversation I will not be a part of, what activity, what action I will be a part of, what activity or action I will not be a part of. It's constant, constant, constant warfare.
Yes.
Hand-to-hand combat. Every day of the world. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. What do we mean by you were dead? You were dead spiritually.
Yes.
You are spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins, and the members as instruments of righteousness to God. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That means every part of your being is to be submitted and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Every part of your being. Verse 14. Paul says, you sin shall not have dominion over you. You do not have to allow any sin to remain in your life, and you do not have to allow any sin to exercise dominion over you.
Amen.
Now, understand this. You came into the body of Christ with some strongholds in the life. You came into the body of Christ with some ancestral sins in the bloodline that were energized and empowered sometimes by unclean spirits that's been in the bloodline for how many years? But you see, so many people don't understand these truths. They never draw a line in the sand. Once you understand, wait a minute. I am a new creation. I've been purchased by the blood of Christ, a new creation. My sins are forgiven. My past is forgotten, but it's warfare. Every day of the world is warfare. And Satan is trying to gain the same ground in your life that he's had in your bloodline for years. Once you understand this, and listen, the more I talk to people and I check their background, I find out what they came through as children, what happened in their lives as teenagers, what happened in their lives as children, things that many times they've tried to ignore, many things they've tried to forget, but the reality is there. The reality is there is that they were wounded, they were bruised, they were disappointed, they were discouraged, they had any number of things coming against them in their childhood, even through their teen years. And that remains an area in the life that has to be taken before the throne of God, has to be dealt with. And you'll find, I'm not asking for any show of hands here, but you will find day after day, month after, and it comes at different intervals, it comes at different periods of your life, that Satan will try to reintroduce into your life something that has been in your bloodline for any number of years. And some of you have discovered that. You've discovered that I have some things in my life, in my thinking, in my manifestation, in my life that were in my mother, that were in my father, that I don't want anything to do with. It's battle. Day after day, resisting. Until you go to glory. Now, as you gain more and more ground, I've come a long way from where I started out, but I've still got a long way to go.
Amen.
And I think that's true of most of us in here. We have to admit that to ourselves. But do not present the members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now that you've been born again, you've been made alive in Christ Jesus. And present your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now look at verse 14 carefully. For sin shall not have dominion over you. If you had a sin nature, sin would exercise dominion over you. Adam did not have a sin nature. Eve did not have a sin nature. But they both sinned. They had free will. You see, I go through life, and I have to take, I'm in the process of learning how to take every thought captive, because in a heartbeat, you can develop an attitude. In a heartbeat, you can develop an attitude. And the one reason the Word of God says that if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. The 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 tells us that no matter how long we've been saved, no matter how far we've come in sanctification, we still have sin in our lives. That does not mean, just because you have sin in your life, does not mean you have a sin nature. It simply means that as a one born again, you are going to have sin in your life, because you're going to cop an attitude, you're going to do a reaction, you're going to respond to a thing, and that is sin in the life. It's contrary to the will of God, it's contrary to the Word of God, and that is why the Word of God says, take every thought captive. You say, preacher, you can't do that. No, you can't, but God can. It's a process. Don't give up on yourself. But say to God every morning, Father, take every thought captive. I want to take every thought captive. I do not want to give ground to the enemy by giving the enemy any ground in my thought life. I want to take every thought captive. And here's what you'll find happening. You'll find that as you think that thought that you should not have thought, that there'll come that little tweak in the spirit, and you know that was wrong. That attitude was wrong. Look, you're standing at Publix checking out. And you're standing there making judgment calls. What rock did you crawl out from under? Did your mama have any that lived? I mean, you're standing there and you got these ungodly, unholy, unchrist-like attitudes, emotions, thought processes. That's why you got to be careful what you watch on TV. Because TV will feed your soul. And if you're watching the wrong thing, you're opening the door and say, come on in, I can handle this. No, you can't either. You have to guard everything. Once again, now look at verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Certainly not. God forbid, absolutely not. Now understand this. Christ Jesus fulfilled the law. Christ Jesus, 613 laws in the law of Moses, plus two additional ones they added later. But initially there were 613 laws in the law of Moses, and the Jews were expected to live up to every one of those 613 laws. Christ, get this down, Christ fulfilled the law. Christ lived up to the standard. Christ fulfilled all 613 laws. He lived up to them. He never one time sinned. Then, after he had done that and went to the cross, he attributed his having obeyed those 613 laws, he attributed them to you as though you had obeyed those laws when you came to Christ. So now, you stand before God, cleansed from the law. We're not under law, we're under grace. So watch this very carefully. Christ Jesus fulfilled the law. Why did he do it? For you. For me. I don't get through a day. Nor do you. No, you're not a shining bright light. You're supposed to be, but I don't get through a day without blowing it somewhere. My attitude, my reaction, my thought life, something. I'm constantly having to evaluate my thought life. You are too if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So, His fulfillment of the law, he fulfilled the law. Christ met all the standards of the law, then attributed his obedience to the law to each of us who've been born again. He says, okay, I'm going to give you my obedience to the law just as though you obey the law. Therefore, it's not counted against you. Obey the law on my behalf. Now, the fact that he did that is no license to sin.
Amen.
We don't have a license to sin, just but some have tried to do that. Some say, well, he paid the debt. He paid the debt, so therefore I'm free. I can do about anything I want to because he paid the debt. No. The fact that he paid your sin debt is not a license for you to sin. The fact that he paid your sin debt is simply more reason to be faithful to him.
Amen.
And to be grateful to him, because when I look back across my past life, I say, yeah, my sin enough was enough on the cross. What about yours? What about yours? Verse 16, Paul goes on. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves to obey, you are that one's slaves? The one to whom you present yourself to obey, you become a slave to that one. Because you're obeying the dictates of that one whom you obey. Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. It's who you submit and commit yourself to day by day by day. Not only that, hour by hour, moment by moment. And that's why the Word of God tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, if we say we have no sins, we're wrong. Why? Because we're going to sin. Now, we can confess the sin, yes, but we are going to sin. You are not going to live a sinless life.
No.
And then Satan does not want you to confess the sin, because he knows if he can just put this and this and this and this in there, it can somehow obstruct your prayer life, and it can hinder you in your walk with the Lord. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? We have to submit and surrender to obey in order to do that. Slaves of Satan. Now, as slaves of Satan, those who are still slaves of Satan, that leads to eternal death, eternal separation from God the Father. The slaves of Satan. And folks, we're living in a world full of slaves of Satan. Let's take this as far as it can go. You got people sitting in the Congress who are slaves of Satan. You got people in the Senate. You wonder why I sit down? My wife tells me, will you sit down once in a while? I said, well, okay, if it'll make you happy. But the point is this. We were born into slavery. We were born into slavery. And remaining in that condition leads to eternal death because separation from God. To whom you present yourselves slaves to obey. You're either a son of God and a servant of God, leading to righteousness and eternal life, or you're a son of Satan and a servant of Satan, leading to eternal death. One or the other. You can't be both. So it's either one or the other. Now, as one who's been born again, those of us who've been born again, we are a child of God. As a child of God, we're indwelt by the power that created the universe.
Amen.
We don't get that. We don't really get that. As a child of God, and I have to remind myself of this day by day by day, as one born again, I am indwelt by the power that created the universe. I have direct access to the throne of God. I cannot rush into the throne of God with unconfessed sin in my life and expect to be heard to the fullest extent I want to be heard. I've got to come to grips with the reality of what's in my life that could block my prayer life. I need prayer power.
Amen.
You need prayer power. If I want prayer power, I've got to keep the thought life, the reactions, the responses, the motives. What was your motive in doing that? What was your motive in saying that? What was your motive in that which you did, that which you thought, that which you said? What were you trying to accomplish? Were you trying to fulfill some inner desire? Were you blindsided? You got to come to grips with all this. You see, the Word of God tells me that I can walk in the fullness of the Spirit. But to walk in the fullness of the Spirit, I've got to acknowledge the sin that is in my life. Amen. That means I've got to evaluate my attitudes, my reactions, my responses. Now, I think this. I'm going to step outside things here a moment. I think this. God loves me. God loves you. God knows your heart. God knows that you want to live a godly, holy, separated life. And therefore, he understands that Satan is constantly trying to introduce into your life an expression of sin of some type that is opposed to the character of God. He also understands, and I had to come to grips with this over the years, I had to come to grips with sins of the bloodline. I never heard that taught in the whole time I was in church. I never heard that taught. I had to get into the Scriptures and find it there myself, because once I understood the sins in the bloodline, that all the sins in the bloodline that gained access, unclean spirits gained access to the bloodline through those unclean spirits. Those unclean spirits gained access through the bloodline, through the sins. Once I understood that, and I realized ancestral sins, and I realized that that is a reality in life, and that's a biggie. That's a biggie. I've got to understand, so what do? I confess as sin all the sins of my forefathers. And I say to the Lord, I reject and rebuke and resist every work of Satan that found its way into my bloodline through the sins of my fathers. Amen. I make my stand. I side with God against Satan. I say to God, I choose to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-anointed. I don't want to entertain any unclean spirit in my life. Therefore, I'm not going to take any chances. If I suspicion a thing is of the Satan, I'm going to confess it as sin, whether it's an attitude, action, reaction, whatever it may be. We're talking cleansing here, folks. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. You are enabled and empowered by this creative power of this universe. You're enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. You're not a spiritual duplex. You're not a spiritual apartment house. You are the temple of God. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and you have access to power you have never realized or even considered you had that power. You have access to the omniscient, omnipotent power of God.
Amen.
You say, well, Bob, quite frankly, I don't experience much of that. It's available. It's available. But how is it available? By acknowledging the attitudes, the actions, the reactions, the things in my life. And I never was taught this. I had to get in the Word to find it. The sins of the fathers. The sins of the fathers in the bloodline. And I'm saying to you, listen to me. I'm saying to you, there are people sitting right here this morning who are suffering physically, emotionally, because of the sins of the fathers, and you never understood that doctrine, and so you never went before the throne of God praying that doctrine and making your stand against the sins of the fathers and commanding everything out of hell that ever gained access to you through the sins of the fathers in the bloodline that came out of the womb with you when you came, taking your position and resisting them and getting rid of them.
Amen.
Are you following this?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
See, I've lived it. I lived it. I know what I'm talking about. I see it in the Word. And then as I look back, look, I grew up, well, you go down to the altar and say, okay, I want Jesus to be my Savior. Okay, Jesus to be my Savior. Okay, got that done. Now I'm good. No, you walk away from that position when you declared your intent and your desire to be a child of God, you walk away from that position into a world full of evil, a hell full of satanic agents that are going to war. We war against you every day of the world. And you have to, number one, I've got to become progressively clean from those things that were in me when they gained access to me when I was born through my bloodline. But then the ground that I personally gave, and then day by day they're seeking new ground in you. They're seeking new ground in you. So that's why you get up every day of the world and put on the whole armor of God. And it's a firefight. You walk out of the house, it's a firefight. And you can't escape it. It's reality. We come back to this now. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, I didn't write it, I'm just reading it and teaching it. Though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. He says you were a slave of sin, but you heard that form of doctrine. It was the gospel. It was that gospel. It was that doctrine that said you must be born again. You must, as an act of your will, receive Christ Jesus into your heart. Here's a perplexing thing. Seriously, this is a perplexing thing. We know that the gospel is available to everybody. But you've got people so deep in bondage and who are enabled and empowered by the sins of the fathers, the unclean spirits in the bloodline, that they are blinded to the truth of the gospel. They don't have the inner strength. They don't have the inner desire. And so they're controlled satanically. It is only when you come to realize, wait a minute, there is a God in heaven, there's a heaven to be gained, there's a hell to be avoided, and the Spirit of God comes, enabling you, empowering you, illuminating you, and enlightening you, and then you realize, wait a minute, there's something beyond this. I don't have to remain in bondage. I don't have to remain a child of the devil. I can, as an act of my will, as I'm enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, I can receive the Holy Spirit. I can be born again. I can become a new creation. And then I can stand against everything out of hell that's coming against me. Amen. That is what means be born again. We're in the family of Satan. Till we come out into the family of God, we're adopted into the family of God. We become a child of God, purchased by the blood of Christ, indwelt by the creative power of this universe. You have clout in heaven. Amen. You have clout in heaven. You as a child of God. You as a soldier of the cross. You as a believer priest. You as an ambassador for Christ, representing the kingdom of God. Representing Jehovah God. Representing Jehovah Jesus, you have access to the throne of God. You can take nations before the throne of God. You can take individuals before the throne of God. You can take yourself before the throne of God. You have access.
Amen.
But you can't rush into His presence with a truckload of unconfessed sin. You're going to have some sin in your life. But as the Holy Spirit, here's the key. When the Holy Spirit just gently breathes on your spirit, confess that. Confess that. That attitude, that reaction, that response. What are you watching on TV? What is it feeding you? When you watch what you're watching on TV, what is it feeding you? Is it feeding the spirit in you? Or is it feeding the soul in you? Is it feeding the soulish man? Is it impregnating your thought life? Is it in any way diminishing your walk with the Lord? Is it in any way not conducive to your walking with God? Then why are you watching it? Why are you watching it? Now we come to verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, now that's each of us, we reach slaves of sin, Yet you obeyed from the heart. You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. It wasn't just a mind thing. It was the innermost being of the man. You received the truth. You received the truth of the Word of God. You believed the Word of God. And you said, wait a minute. I can be born again. My sins forgiven. My sins forgotten. I can have all the sins in my bloodline terminated. I can become a new creation. I can become a new creature. I can walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God. I can walk in anointing. I can walk in power. I can walk in the fullness of the Spirit. And all I've got to do that is acknowledge the sin that's in my life and confess it as sin.
Amen.
Oh, my soul. Verse 17 again. But God be thanked that you, who were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart, that innermost person, that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Now look at verse 18. And having been free from sin, you became what? Slaves of righteousness. Before you were a slave of sin, now you become a slave of righteousness. Why? You are a purchased possession. You are a purchased possession. And as one who's been purchased by the blood of Christ, you've been adopted into the family of God. As one who's been purchased by the blood of Christ, adopted into the family of God, you are now indwelt by the creative power of the universe. Do you understand that? I'm indwelt by the power that created the universe.
Amen.
Once you start understanding that, you say, I'm a purchased possession. I'm adopted into the family of God. I'm indwelt by the Spirit of God. And I am empowered by the Spirit of God. I am empowered by the same power, by the same authority that created this universe.
Amen.
Folks have been there. I'm saying to you, you don't have to lose a spiritual battle. You're going to lose some skirmishes, but you can win the war. You will lose a battle here and there. You will lose a skirmish, but you can win the war. You can win the war. And Satan cannot make you do, look, please hear me. Every demon out of hell knows I cannot control you. Unless you allow me to control you. The only way I can gain access to you is if you give me access. But if I can deceive you, intimidate you, threaten you, in some way deceive you into giving me access, then I can have my way with you. Is this making sense to you? This is life and death. I've lived this. I'm still living this. But I don't want you to come through some of the stuff I had to come through. I want to save you some of the trouble if I can, by letting you know your position, what you're up against, and how you overcome what Satan is bringing against you, because every day of the world is a firefight. It's a firefight every day of the world. Verse 19. Paul says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. The weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. You see, the more ground you give Satan, the more he uses that ground. How do I explain this, Holy Spirit? Help me explain this, Holy Spirit. You start out with just a little deception here. And then that deception becomes a greater deception. And that deception, and apply this to any other area of your life, that becomes a greater deception. First thing you know, you're a full-blown liar. You'd rather climb a tree and tell a lie than stand on the ground and tell the truth. Hear me. That's the way it works. Satan wants progressive inroad into your life. Satan wants progressive control over your thought life. Satan wants progressive control over your attitudes, your reactions, your responses. That is his goal. Now that you've been born again, you have the authority in the name of Jesus to resist what he's trying to do. But you've got to understand what he's trying to do and resist what he's trying to do. Are you sensitive enough to know, wait a minute, that reaction was not from God. That was a satanic reaction. That's a satanic desire. That's a satanic emotion. That's a satanic response. Once you start coming to grips with that, and it starts in the home, and you come through all the levels. Once again, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you, watch this now, just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. In other words, he's saying, present yourself as fully and completely and totally to God as you did to Satan. Present yourself fully, completely, totally, without reservation. Verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You had no righteousness. As a slave of sin, slave of Satan, you had no righteousness. Nothing righteous about you. Verse 21. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. What did you do as a sinner that you're proud of? Nothing. I look back across my life. I would to God I had not gone there. Amen. I would to God I had not said that. Amen. I would to God I had not been that. I'm saying to you this morning, and I'm hitting this on the radio two or three times a week, some weeks. You got men going to the pulpit this morning. You got men standing in the pulpits who have strongholds in their life. And they're not going to talk to the deacons about it because the deacons spread it all over church. They're not going to talk to anybody else. If they will talk to anybody, sometimes it's another preacher. But you've got to understand this thing is across the board. It's across the board. Just because I'm in the pulpit don't make me perfect. Just because I'm in the pulpit doesn't mean that I've got my whole act together. I still fight attitudes. I still have to guard my reactions and my responses. And I am consistently confessing as sin. Some reaction, whatever it may be. It's so easy to be judgmental. It's so easy to become judgmental, and the next thing you know, you have grieved the Spirit of God because you become judgmental. Is any of this making any sense? Verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin, what? I don't have to sin, and what's true of me is true of you. I don't have to sin one single sin that I have time to think about before I do it.
Amen.
What's true of me is true of you. Now, you came out of the womb with the sins of the fathers in your spirit. You came out of the womb. The legal ground had been given by the forefathers in your bloodline to different levels and different agents of Satan. And you come out of the bloodline. They had access to you. You came out of the womb. They had access to you. It's warfare. I can't fight your battle for you. I can pray for you, and I can wish the best for you, and I can do everything I can to help you, but I can't fight your battle. And you can't fight my battle. Hear me carefully. I'm fixing to close this thing down because you can't stand much more of this. I can't either. Understand this. Each and every one of us are a personal target. And one set of demons, unclean spirits, in her blood said, okay, we got this bloodline. Now we'll manifest ourselves in that bloodline. This is going to be different. That one's going to be different. You're going to be different. I'm going to be different. We have different. Now, there is commonality in many of us, but there are specifics in many of us. You've got some who were born with a sin nature, but they never... Oh, boy. Lord, help us. You've got some who were born with a sin nature, but they never gave the ground that the rest of us gave. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean this. We all came out of the womb with a sin nature, but we all didn't sin to the same degree and in the same way, to the same type of sin. We all had our own little different sins. Now, each one of us in that respect are different. There's a commonality among us. There is a commonality. But you have to understand that apart from that commonality, there's also individuality. You've got individual unclean spirits operating in individuals. Just because it's operating in him doesn't mean it's operating in me, because I got my own breed. So once we understand that we're all targets, one. Number two, you came out of the womb with a sin nature. And because you came out of the womb with a sin nature, you were subject and you were vulnerable. But nobody told you you were vulnerable. And you just thought that's the way you were. You thought everybody was the same way you are. Well, they were until they got born again. And then born again comes the process. Comes the process of slow, sure, individual deliverance. Lord, help us. I want so much for the people of God to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, because then we got prayer power, and we need prayer power. Verse 23. And then we'll go back to verse 22 again. But now, having been set free from sin. What? You've been set free from sin. Amen. There's not one sin that you have to sin if you have a split second to think about it before you do it. Amen. You don't have to sin that sin. You're indwelt by the creative power of this universe. You're indwelt by the Spirit of God. Amen. And He will enable you. He will empower you to come beyond and over anything that Satan brings against you. And that is why you put on the whole armor of God every day. But now, having been set free from sin, turn to somebody and say, I'm free from sin.
I'm free from sin.
Having been set free, this is the Word of God. I didn't write it. All I do is teach it. Having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, woo-hoo, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end everlasting life. Understand this. As a child of God, one split second after your last heartbeat hits, you're in glory.
Amen.
The battle's over. Fight's over. It's over. You've achieved glory. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but, that's a big but, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life. Now, I'm going to close it out with this. The church has, well, I say the church, the assembly has trouble receiving this. I don't have to sin any sin I have time to think about before I do it.
Amen.
Satan is powerful. Satan himself cannot make me sin anything I choose not to sin.
Amen.
Now I get sucker punched.
Yes, sir.
Some of you don't know what that means. Let me educate you. Sucker punch means that you're standing there and you don't know what's coming. And the other guy decides, pow! And you're reeling. And that's what happens to us. We get sucker punched. I know that's not pastoral talk, but it's my background. But we get sucker punched. We didn't expect the punch. We didn't expect him to hit us with that. And pew, bam, there it is. And now I just given the ground because I reacted, I responded improperly. My thought life was improper. Now I got to confess that as sin. But praise God, once I confess it as sin, I can walk in power again. You're going to get sucker punched. But sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under law, but under grace. Amen. Folks, hear me as I close this out. Quinn Baxter, come here and sit down. You know why I like to call on him to pray a lot of times? He's been on both sides of the street. He understands both sides of the street. He's lived both sides of the street. But as I close this out, I want you to repeat after me. I am a new creation. My sins are forgiven. My past is forgotten. I'm indwelt by the Spirit of God. I'm a child of God. Adopted into the family of God. I'm a soldier of the cross. It's warfare. But I can emerge victorious. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.